safe with a capital S.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There is progress this morning on ensuring Chinese products exported to the United States are safe. The head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, Inez Tenenbaum, said today on a trip to China, her department will set up its first permanent office in Beijing later this year. More from Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The office still needs final approval from Chinese authorities. The country's been the source of poisoned pet food, chemical-laced milk, and lead-painted toys in the last couple of years. I reached economist Andy Rothman as he was strolling through a Chinese mall today in Shanghai.
I don't think anybody in China, the government or population in general, wants to have their country known as a place that ships shoddy or dangerous goods. It's certainly not in their economic interest.
Rothman says the Chinese government has been cracking down on producers that cut corners. He says having a U.S. regulatory presence on the ground will help.
But I think we can't get our hopes up that having a couple of inspectors in Beijing is going to solve the problem for American consumers, given how many thousands of factories are exporting. The onus really has to come on the American companies that are bringing these products into the U.S.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission's new Beijing office is set to open in October. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
On Wall Street yesterday, a little give back. The S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow all lost under 0.5%. The Dow was off 26 points to close at 90.70. European markets are up right now, more than 1% in London and Paris, and Asia shares were mostly higher today as well. Motorola said it sold more cell phones, and voila, an unexpected profit for the second quarter. Insurance company Travelers said today lower investment income and underwriting profit drove its second quarter earnings down 21%. Anytime two things, people, chemicals, banks, get together, there's always a chance that they're not going to mix. The Wall Street Journal reported this week about a ruckus over at Nomura Holdings, which bought part of Lehman Brothers. Now, Nomura appears to have offended some of its employees, new employees, when it trained women bankers to serve tea and wear their hair a certain way. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports that for merged financials, cultural differences can cause some uneasy withdrawals.
Culture clashes don't just happen in international mergers. Danny Sarch is a Wall Street recruiter. He told me about one guy who went through a merger. He tangled with a new boss over how to prepare a spreadsheet.
There are little things that are just the pebble in somebody's shoe that create this crescendo of annoyances.
Take the Bank of America Merrill Lynch deal. The so-called Walmart of banks has struggled to absorb Merrill's thundering herd of brokers. Sarch says one of the key differences is pay.
Merrill Lynch's people from the trading areas to the salespeople are used to essentially eating what they kill, meaning that if you perform X, you know you're going to get paid Y. And typically at a commercial bank, it's just not as simple as that.
That's made Sarch's job as a headhunter a little easier. He's hired to lure Wall Street rainmakers to competing firms. As the annoyances pile up, he says people are more willing to jump ship. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan speaks next hour in Washington. He'll be delivering the keynote address at a national conference on homelessness. Shouldn't surprise you that the recession has made matters worse as people are losing jobs and homes at a higher rate. This morning, we focus on one city, the biggest one in our country, that's having a particularly tough time dealing with its growing homeless population. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Nothing's cheap in New York, certainly not housing, and the temporary apartments used to accommodate the homeless are nearly full. Robert Hess is the commissioner of the city's Department of Homeless Services.
We're seeing applicants for shelter increase about 30% more this year than last year at the same time.
So city officials this week put some tough new policies in place. They make it easier to eject people from shelters for minor infractions like staying out past curfew.
We do not view shelter as a home. We view shelter as short-term, temporary, and emergency services to help stabilize families that are in crisis with all the dignity and respect that they deserve.
Dignity and respect aren't the first words that come to mind at the city's main homeless intake center. It's in the South Bronx, one of New York's poorest and most dangerous neighborhoods. Hundreds of families file in the door in search of shelter and come right back out again after being found ineligible for housing.
They tell me I have to come back after 12 o'clock in the morning to apply for overnight. Come on, I have two kids, you know. They shouldn't be doing that.
That's a woman who called herself only Marisol. She says authorities told her to stay with her aunt Gina, but Gina says she's got no room.
I got like 10 people in my house right now. I'm supposed to fit, what, five more, four more? No, I got my own family.
This drama in the South Bronx may sound worlds away, but homelessness is up all over the country. Professor Dennis Culhane studies the issue at the University of Pennsylvania. He says even if we're at the beginning of a recovery, homeless levels could still be on the rise for some time.
This recession could sort of blow a hole in the safety net, and the homeless system that is out there is simply not sufficient in its capacity to deal with the potential problem.
New York's taken an out-of-sight, out-of-mind approach to save on long-term shelter for the homeless. The city is now buying one-way tickets to places where homeless families have relatives or friends who'll take them in. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Finally, people love to see panda bears, especially little baby ones. And the lines at the San Diego Zoo ticket booths may be getting a little longer in the near future. That's because zoo officials say their prized giant panda is expecting again. Bai Yun is already a mother of four. She's due to deliver next month. Ultrasound tests this week show there may be a twin. We have a link to the video of that ultrasound at our website. Check it out. It's really cute. Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.